guys. We are back, and this is Not Our Ancestors Podcast. It's a weekly podcast brought to us by Dante.
What's up, guys?
Joy.
Hi, guys.
And myself, Wesley. And as I said, it's a weekly podcast where we talk about everything from politics, pop culture,
black news, black business,
blackiness,
blackity black,
and everything in between, as we also like to call our most valuable blacks.
Hey, I can't even sing this week because I'm sick. But
Joy is sick today.
It's been so long, I don't even remember
how to do it. She can't hit her, you know, soprano note, but it's okay.
So if you're tuning in for the first time, we're going to start off with our Did You Care?
Did You Care rapid fire. Y'all ready?
I love this.
I know. I miss you guys. So let's do this.
It has been a long time since we recorded, and I do want to tell you guys that I missed you.
We miss our listeners as well. We know y'all are out there and sending us, you know, messages here and there. We like it to be on our social pages, but...
And before we start, happy Black Ass History Month to everybody. So...
Be black and black, black. Black, black, black.
Black.
Be Popeye's chicken sandwich black.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Or that crispy wrap sandwich Mary Kay was singing.
That's Chris
Black history, right? See, ignorance has ensued already.
I mean, what's the tortilla taste like?
I just listened to that Got to Be Real where they talked about that. Man, it takes me out. We're going to have to listen to that one first. But anyway,
right.
Did You Care? All right, here we go. First one. Yvonne Orji is to tape her first HBO comedy special.
Oh, yeah. I'm so for it.
Okay.
I'm so for it. Only
you
because...
You know who she is?
I have no idea.
So she's...
Insecure.
Yeah, she's on Insecure. She plays
don't
Molly.
Don't take my black card, but I have not watched Insecure.
Girl, that's
sorry.
Like not listening to Lemonade.
Okay, well, we know where we
are. All right, so Molly is everything. Well, Yvonne Orji is an amazing... I think she's originally from Nigeria. Mm-hmm.
Hardcore Nigerian.
Right. She's amazing. She's beautiful. She's also
she's
a
very
virgin.
Religious. She
right.
does not cuss when she does any stand-up.
Nope.
So, but she's still funny as hell.
And she is very excellent actress, obviously,
yes.
Because all the facts about her, Yvonne, does not sync up with Molly at all.
And
like, Molly's out here getting her business done, and Yvonne's like, no, I ain't getting my business done until my husband is getting in this business. So,
okay. And the man she's engaged to... Oh, well, dating, sorry.
Right.
Fine.
Yeah, like, come on,
Yvonne. Fine, I think he's Nigerian, too.
She started her career off as a stand-up comedian, so I appreciate the fact that... I didn't know that when I started watching Insecure, so I appreciate the fact that she is going back to, like, her roots and giving us a comedy special. I'm here for it.
Yes.
Wait. And okay. HBO, good for you.
I'm here for it, then,
like,
too.
If you haven't... And Leslie Jones has a good one on Netflix also that's very hilarious if you haven't watched that one.
Wes, this second one is more geared towards you because you know Marvel better than the rest of us.
Okay.
Brian Tyree Henry will play Marvel's first openly gay superhero in the Eternals movie.
Oh, okay. So I don't know who that man is.
He's the one. So Atlanta. You know the rapper on Atlanta? I can't think
so
of
I'm
his.
I'm going to have a joy moment. I have not
watched
Atlanta.
What is wrong with y'all? What is going on? Like,
well, I will say I have at least seen a couple episodes of Atlanta.
Atlanta is everything. So I'm going to need... So Atlanta season 3 is coming out this spring.
Right.
And 4 is coming out in the fall. So I'm going to need y'all to catch up on Atlanta because it's really good. Like
I heard it.
And it's some really good blackity black shit.
I know. I heard it is.
Come
it's
on.
Just, it's
Daniel Glover.
I know.
Like,
I
support.
Get it.
We got
no,
support.
The fact that they have an openly gay character in the MCU for Eternals is great. I just wish that it wasn't a headline. Like, why is it always like a gay thing got to be a headline? Like,
anything
you know what I'm saying?
Anything that is giving light and a celebration to the minority.
I just wish it was just normal.
But it, like, you know, you're right. Like,
whenever
Joy is
something
right.
is a minority thing that's not
first
happened.
Black woman,
right.
Whatever.
The first black movie that was
I
a
know.
Horror film. Like,
ooh, right.
You have to shine a light on it. And now, hopefully, moving forward, it won't have to be the leading headline because it'll be the normal.
It already
well,
exists.
I will,
and that's why it's a headline.
Right.
It doesn't
now,
exist.
I will say this. The Eternals, like, if okay, when it comes to the MCU, the Eternals are creatures that were, like, they're predated before mutants.
Did
so they're like the strongest superheroes, like the strongest beings.
Let me ask you a question,
though.
Like, do they look like humans, though? Could you, how are you going to make a first gay couple like some weird looking?
So essentially, no, they don't. But because we're talking about comic book characters, they got to, you know.
I get it, but the X-Men, they look like humans. They can pass as humans.
Well, like, y'all could have picked something else to start your gay agenda on, minus these weird ass looking creatures. Well, the X-Men were
based off of being black. So, like,
true.
That's, you know, as much as they want to, it is based off being a minority.
Right.
Okay. The Eternals are. So the fact that this gay man, he's going to be basically be the strongest one of the beings out of all the beings.
The gay one.
In the entire Marvel Universe.
I have a question. Do you think he's going to be a top or a bottom in his
personal life? He could be verse. Like what? Me. Like, so what?
Why got to be either or? Why can't he like that? Top or bottom?
Some of these tops need to be bottoms.
So when do you know when Eternals? Shut up. You know when Eternals is coming out? I'm kind of excited.
No,
about
I do not. Okay. All right.
Well, I didn't see anything. On
they've been making, like, basically, since the press is coming out with all this, that means it's going to be. You're going to get a trailer at some point.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Wendell Williams.
Oh, I can't wait.
She tells men to stop wearing our skirts and heels.
Did you believe her apology?
No. Did you see?
Does that apply to herself?
Thank you. That's why I called her Wendell. You like, are a man in a skirt and
heels.
You're
the manliest of all men.
Now, okay.
Adam's apple is
now,
popping.
I will say this because I feel like this also goes into what we're going to be discussing in politics. Wendell is in every right to say how she feels about men wearing dresses.
Facts.
But as I tell people, you can say what the fuck you want to say.
Words
but
mean
deal
things.
With it, but deal with the consequences.
And there are consequences that come along.
And the consequences was that you forgot who the fuck your audience
was.
Who
your audience is. Those men in skirts and heels.
Right.
Not only that, her producer, who she always talks to and interjects to in the damn show, is a gay black man.
Man.
So
the level of dragging Wendell Gatt by the gays.
Dragging,
no
pun intended.
Right. Pun intended. She is in drag.
As she's supposed to get. Dumbass.
Well, you know what? I will say maybe, and I'm giving her credit because I'm not necessarily a friend or foe of Wendell. I don't really care.
Why do they all call her Wendell now?
Because
her mom made a mistake. Okay, that was very mean.
That
I'm sick.
Was mean, that but was sick, appropriate.
But okay, so maybe it. Maybe her divorce was just finalized or whatever. So maybe this is a marketing ploy, and she just did something.
But she don't need marketing. She's Wendy Williams.
That's true.
Wendy, air quotes.
Everybody comes to Wendy if it's sell they shit.
Right. You know what I mean? Like Marlo Hampton was on Wendy Williams show.
God,
like what the fuck? I seen that clip, I was like. Why? But
why? So
it's ones. Wendell. Wendell brings the people, and
because,
she gives it to the gays.
Because
and
Nene
like,
is friends with Wendell, and Nene is friends with Marlo. So boom. All right.
Well.
Anyway, so Wendell. Look, as a person who
fuck her.
I
no,
wear
I've been
women's
I've been
clothes.
Say, I've been saying fuck her a long
but
time.
But I will throw a hill on here and there just for the fun of it. So fuck you, Wendy. Like fuck
well,
you,
I've
Wendell.
Been saying, I've been saying
you
fuck her.
Fuck you from the NOA cast, Wendy.
Uh-huh, goodbye.
You
cancel. But have us on your show, girl.
For
you
real.
Can sit on the sick dick, bitch. I don't care.
So,
after you promote our show.
Rick Moranis, y'all know who he is?
I do not.
Rick Moranis. He is the star, and he was the father on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh!
And he is actually...
He was in Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. He, is returning to acting after 24 years to do
right,
Little Shop of Horrors.
He
not
did quit.
Little Shop of Horrors, but
quit, yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids reboot.
Oh,
and the reason for me, right, I make the same faces at reboots, but the reason that it works for me is because of the reason why he left acting. Like his wife died and he had young kids, so he left acting to raise his kids.
Yeah. Yes.
And now they are adults, and obviously all these reboots and shit are happening, so they want to do a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids reboot, and he's like, yeah, I'm here for it. And that's the only reason why I'm like, let me have this reboot. I'm going to get some coins. And
well, it's interesting because, you know, Billy Porter is going to be in the reboot film.
Of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
No, A Little Shop of Horrors that he was in.
Billy, what's he going to play?
I think he's going to play his role.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that
I'm
is...
here for it. But I loved Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Well,
Camila
Cabello, who I don't like, but
no.
That's...
No. But, yeah, so he's coming back for this reboot.
And... Well, I'm here for it only because... Well, not only because... Partially because I did like that movie as well, but
I loved it.
The fact that, you know, he has an opportunity
to
go
back.
As the stereotypes of acting, like, you know what I mean, after you take so long away from
us. He's a phenomenal actor. You can't deny
him
that.
He was great.
Right.
It was great.
In all the roles that I've ever seen him in. And then, like, I just, like, I feel really good about, like, him because of, like, the sacrifice he made. Once you're in Hollywood, and he was big when he left.
Yeah.
You know, he was rolling off of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Little Shop of Horrors and shit like that.
And you have to remember he was in Little Shop of Horrors with him. He's with Tashina Arnold and Gina.
Yeah. We fucked her. Gina.
I can't. God, it's a damn shame. But he was in that.
Tisha. Yes. Thank you.
God, and I'm the one with my black car revoked.
But that's Little Shop of Horrors. They ain't got nothing to do with blacks.
I
mean, that was the reason why I watched this.
They were blowing.
Singing down.
Singing down. That's another reason I like School Days. But that
is.
So, yeah.
Oh, did you hear about the latest thing that happened with School Days? Sorry. When they talk about Spike Lee had one group living in a nice hotel and the darker girls living in a nasty hotel.
For the...
To keep the...
Right, to keep it up. Like, the contingent. Have you seen School Days?
Ooh.
Honey.
You know she honey.
We need a movie day.
Yes, we do.
We should, on DVD.
We should have a reaction. We should watch...
It's a classic.
We should do a reaction on watching School Days. Okay. Have you seen Color Purple?
Yes.
Oh, girl. My heart stopped. Okay.
Anyway, next.
So, the Madam C.J. Walker series, Self-Made, will premiere on Netflix on March 20th. So I think it's a four-part limited series with Octavia Spencer as the lead, Madam C.J. Walker.
In a world of listening to how Kendall and Kylie Jenner are billionaires and trillionaires based off of shit that they earned on their backs, I'm excited.
Not their backs.
Oh, I'm excited to hear a story or knees. About or knees, back or knees or hands. I don't know how these women do, but I'm excited.
They made
to
$1 billion off of Kim's pussy.
Right.
But go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm excited to see Netflix highlighting because everybody knows Netflix is known to be willing to put out anything.
And they're good. Their series usually are good. And I'm excited to learn more about.
Focus specifically on that story and to get somebody behind it like Octavia Spencer. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm totally here for it.
I think,
let's put some energy into explaining to the culture what it looks like to actually be self-made.
A self-made millionaire. First,
in a world that has everything
you said it,
putting
you said
you
it.
Down. You know what I mean?
Especially a black woman.
Said it.
Here's the only thing I was upset about.
It's a
was the fact that Netflix did not release it this month for Black History Month. But I will give them, it's Women's History Month next month, so I'll give them that. Like,
okay. Do they know that though?
Probably not.
Right.
But I'm gonna give Netflix that because I really wish they would have released it this month.
Right.
And you know, celebration.
But you know what? If it's not ready and it needs to come out next month,
but it's ready.
But Madam
C.J. coming out on the 20th of March. It could come out today.
Madam C.J. Walker deserves it because my thing is, I'm so sick of people just saying, like, "Oh, well, she made hair grease." You know, it's like, girl, she.
Like, no, she built an empire.
Girl, she was an entrepreneur. She was an entrepreneur. Like, do you understand
and it wasn't
exactly
just hair grease, bitch.
What that
the
is?
The fuck is wrong with y'all?
Like,
watch the series, damn it.
So I can't wait for her to get her shine. I think it's well. Overdue.
It's beyond
so
overdue.
So I'm down for it.
So here's a little bit of trash. I want to know. I hope y'all seen this video because it tickled me.
If it's that damn stripper falling out the ceiling.
That's exactly what it is. Did y'all see her fall off that 15-foot? The bitch landed on her face. You heard it in the video. And then she continued to twerk. Good for you, girl.
Okay. This is my only question. I have a couple, actually.
Okay.
So she fell on the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Workman's comp.
Boom. Apparently, because you know how stripping works.
Do we know how stripping works?
Well, you like to tell people that you was working at a strip club.
No, I have no problems knowing people who worked at a strip
but
club.
But you don't ever tell them that you work.
You feel the need to define what I did at a strip club.
She was a cocktail waitress. Don't play me.
Why
don't
you feel the need to define that?
Because you say I worked at a strip club,
so
period.
What?
You don't ever go beyond that.
So what? People don't need an explanation. I'm not embarrassed.
If you were stripping that stage, girl, I would have snatched your wig off.
What?
That Vivica would have went.
In this Black History Month, and I'm going to say this conversation for Women's History Month. So all the strippers that listen... That's what's
up. I got nothing wrong with stripping. It's just ain't for you.
Y'all, I'm sitting here watching this happen.
It's for you. She knew good goddamn well she got her ass up on that goddamn stage. She was going to get snatched anyway.
Oh, God.
My point is, that should have been workman's comp, but clearly they don't get no insurance at the damn strip club. No.
I have one.
But she had a GoFundMe page.
Yes.
Did she?
But why didn't more. When those men sitting closest to the stage seen her land on her face and then begin to twerk anyway. Why weren't they dropping more dollars and 20s on that bitch? She deserves.
There was no dollars coming down, period.
No, so there was one dude who got up and literally he was throwing money out there. But everybody who was around the stage should have been throwing money at her because she deserves. Yes, but she got up and continued to twerk after landing 15 feet.
She didn't have no choice. She probably didn't realize she broke her jaw.
True. But she, yes. Yes, and sprained her ankle. So yes. she twerked back off right. the stage so she's there, like, on her knees.
Did you
like,
see the video?
I did not.
So we'll have to play that for you. Oh, but the bottom line is, as she deserves, like, I don't really throw dollars out at strip clubs. That's why I don't go.
But see, this is the thing.
I would have gave her some money.
First of all, I do.
For her medical bills, at least.
Well, this is my thing.
That's talent. You can keep twerking out the landlord.
I do enjoy a nice strip club. That's not a problem for me.
A male strip club?
Female or male, I don't matter.
Right? I don't mind either. Do they have good food is the question.
No. I don't eat food at the strip club.
Girl, that... Food at the strip club, at the right strip club, is the best.
Listen, this is
that fried there. Chicken, they got somebody's mama listen, back there frying
no,
that chicken.
No shade. I know I'm a gay man, but pussy and food to me don't go together. I just can't.
Girl, I don't care. If somebody's grandmama is in the back frying this chicken hard.
Okay, now if I see granny in the back frying
right, and that's who it is.
Who do you think is going to be back there?
I don't know.
The lady back there frying chicken is like 60 years old.
She used to be a stripper.
She was a house mother.
Right. She became the house mother. She aged out of that as well. She's like, bitch, I got this chicken.
Here, but wait a minute. I'm going to cook for y'all. Y'all up there working so hard.
But my point is.
Come back here in between.
Mama got you, baby.
But my point was, I was like, and I said this to my dad, I was like, okay, so you got to go find me a patient. I understand. First of all, her coworker was on the floor, did not even care that she fell.
She did not flinch.
On the floor laughing?
No, she was twerking.
She was doing a little twerking, but she wasn't really doing much. I guess homegirl was doing like the show.
The pole show.
So she fell right next to the girl, and the girl was serving like this.
Girl.
Didn't even flinch, didn't even feel it, hear it, whatever.
I'm sure she felt it and heard it.
My thing is this. Okay, so you got to go find me. But if you're at the one job where a GoFundMe would equate to where I can make money, which would be stripping. So it's like you could make a medical bill very quickly paid off by just taking your clothes off.
With her jaw wired, no one told her
to get up that high. And now she done fucked up money for everybody else. Now they're going to have all these rules like,
if you can't get up to 15 feet,
they're gonna be like, "I'm sorry, there's gonna be a red line on the pole. You don't pass the pole.
Do not surpass the red line.
You bitches drank too much on their job. You get 2 drink minimum.
Right, you should have took those shots before you went out.
And if
stage.
I was her girl, I'm like, bitch, you done fucked it up for the rest of us. I don't want to dare through these hoes. Like,
so I hate you. Bye. Next,
but she in the damn hospital room talking about. Thumbs up, bitch.
She had tears. Like, why are you crying, girl? Like, you fell off the pole. Nobody pushed you.
That was like 2 stories.
15 feet on her face. She landed on her face.
She said
that was the best video I've seen in a while.
I woke up today.
I died.
Jason Shaver sent me that video. You're
gonna have to show Joy in a minute. All right, Ancestry.com fights the U.S. government as the feds want to grab their DNA.
That's why I don't do the swabs. I don't do that.
I wish I never did that. I did do it because one of my aunts, I work with too many white people talking about aunts.
Right.
One of my aunts like wanted to do this whole history.
Is that a black thing? Because I would say aunts too.
Aunts is black.
Right.
And he was saying one of my aunts.
Yeah, but it like literally at work, that's the word I use because they look at me crazy when I say aunts. It's like, what is that? Aunts is sound and blend. Sound and blend. The A-U-N-T does not say aunt.
That's true.
And what, seriously.
I mean, I say aunts. You know that. Right. I always say aunts.
But if you
say
aunts, it's just
always okay. Aunt and uncle.
It always frustrates me because it's like my name when people spell my name wrong. Sound and blend. Dawn Tay.
Oh my God.
The only exception that could be made is you might have put a Y at the end of my name instead of E. I could tolerate that because that would still say Tay. But D-A-N-T-E is not Dante.
Oh,
what did you learn in kindergarten and first grade?
Okay, so...
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Ancestry.com.
So, the government wants their DNA database information.
Shocker.
Right.
We knew that was happening.
I think that's some bullshit.
I think it's some bullshit, but I think also it's one of the things that should have been expected, which I think most people do.
Agreed.
But
that's why a lot of people didn't want to do it.
Yep.
And they were smart.
And I think it's unfortunate that a lot of people did want to do it, and that just goes to show how much advertising can sway people's common sense. So
honestly, when my aunt brought it to me, I just wanted to know what tribe I was from, what country in Africa I was
from. And here's the thing. I don't knock anybody for wanting to do that because I did it. Obviously, I didn't buy it and do it for myself. This was a Chad purchase, but I don't know.
Don't get one in the box.
I'm just saying, that's not something that I would have sought to do. Although, I will say, because I'm sure he's going to call me out on it. I want to do it for my dog. Now.
Bye.
Girl. Bye. Bye.
I want to know genetic dispositions that she is.
Jesus.
When people volunteer that much personal information,
your
DNA, right?
It's yours.
When you think about the constitutional rights and protections that you have, that's like the last thing that you should want to give to a private company.
True. But you know what I mean? Like, but you know what though? But you have to think about
your speech is protected. But
Your DNA is protected as well. Yeah. I can't just be like, hey, you are a criminal. Give me your DNA. No, I have to get a warrant for that.
Right.
Yep. So, like, people are literally willing to give it. Like, right. But the thing is, right now, Ancestry is doing a very good job in saying, no, we ain't giving you
But you have to also... Because
they're still making so much money.
And the crazy thing about it is...
but it's the right thing to do as well.
I don't think businesses do anything based on right and wrong. They do, when they can get sued for that shit, it's money. You know what I'm saying, it was
a
viable option, because if you think about it, black people in this world, we don't know where we're from because of how we got here,
and that's the majority of that database is probably black people.
And here's a double-edged sword on this, because Ancestry.com don't even do shit for us. When you go and do that, it gives you a little bit about where we're from, but it's not all the collect data. And there's a black version of it that has it that gives you actually to the tribe down to
I wish I had known that before.
But they were popular because Ancestry.com and 23andMe were the popular ones.
Yeah.
But when people started getting arrested for them swabs because they found out through people's family members, boom, that's when black folks was like, I'm dying.
Yeah, no, that's exactly true. All they told me was, I'm from the western coast of Africa.
What's that? They
gave us like four different like countries.
What did you do with the information?
Nothing.
It's still sitting there.
That's my point. Like,
I might go to Ghana just to, you know.
Like, Chad has asked me sometimes, I was like, did you check out your 20? No.
No.
Like, no.
I don't care.
The fuck do I care? I don't know, but anyway.
And I'm as light-skinned as I am. Who the fuck knows what the hell I get? Like,
right, all the moments, if I were you, I would want to know.
I don't want to know. Because you know what that means, rape. I don't got time for that.
It don't necessarily mean rape.
Slavery? I already know that we came over as slave ships. I don't need any more information. Thanks. I'm good. We came over from Bermuda. I'm done. Good.
Bye. Child bye.
Island money.
So,
right. I'm good.
Ted Cruz, someone I cannot stand, actually... He actually introduced a term limit bill. So it would be 2 terms in the Senate.
Oh, you mean like Bloomberg did?
And 3 terms in the House of Representatives.
After winning a 3rd term, that's what Bloomberg did? He did the same thing.
He checked. But here's the thing. I don't ever agree with Ted Cruz, except for this one thing.
I'm here for it.
Y'all need to go. Yeah,
get in and out.
2 terms.
Mess it up.
That's it.
You're done.
Right.
You're not supposed to mess up the next 5 years about it.
Mitch McConnell should not have been there 40 fucking years. It does not make sense.
His health wants him to leave.
I want him to leave. And if God strikes him dead, great.
Ooh.
I'll take that. Yeah. But the bottom line is, Ted Cruz actually introduced something that I agree with.
Well,
so
45 can still eat Big Macs and still and Filet-O-Fish and stuff.
Do you have any idea? Do you have any opinion about why it is that he introduced something like this?
Yeah, like why?
I don't know why he was the one to do it. Maybe because he sees the writing on the wall. Maybe he thinks he might lose. So it's like, fuck everybody else.
Oh, okay.
But whatever his reasoning is, good on you for doing it. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, to be honest, because everybody else wants to keep their jobs.
Right.
But,
that's true.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, you did one thing that I agree with in your time in the Senate. So good job, trash ass Cruz.
Okay.
So this is another good news story. Virginia, they eliminated the holidays honoring Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, and they made Election Day a holiday.
Oh, wow.
Virginia did that?
Virginia's Democratic run. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, but still, it's like crazy as hell in Virginia. Like,
you got a governor that's Democratic. The Senate is Democratic.
Democratic.
They are running shit down in Virginia. Democrats is like, nope, we're getting rid of this. You want a fucking Jimmy Rig election? No, we got that. We're cutting that out, too. They are fucking shit up the right way.
Robert E. Lee and Stonewall, they should never have had a fucking holiday.
You know
that. When do we celebrate losers? I'm sorry. Like, when do we start doing that?
When
people in the South.
Do you know there's Confederacy? There's actually Confederacy holidays, like Confederate holidays in Texas.
Yes.
Like, that's ridiculous.
I'm here for the fact that they made Election Day a holiday.
Boom. There
the
it
whole
is.
Country needs to do like, that shit. And both of them, primary and the general election, they both should be holidays.
Like, wow, that's my.
But they want to suppress the vote, so of course they're not gonna make it easy for you to go and vote. That doesn't make sense. But
well, no, good for Virginia.
Virginia, look, hey, the rest of the country, are y'all paying attention to Virginia? Because they actually doing some shit right now. So the rest of us need to flip these House, these representatives and these senators at the state level and at the federal level and really get some fucking progress done.
Like, well, you know, Pennsylvania is now allowed, they're going to push for us to mail-in vote, like do early voting.
I would love that.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to happen.
It doesn't make sense not to. Like, we have all this other fucking technology and shit. No, I ain't gonna talk about technology because I.
We're not doing that. Iowa showed us how technology goes.
That's all right. Moving on. Alicia Keys, she signed with Roc Nation.
Oh wow! I did not know that.
I will just say that she sounded really good at the Grammys.
Did she? I didn't watch.
Nor did I.
She did.
Did you hear her new song? Mm-mm. Trash.
Wow.
Flat out. Trash.
What's the title of her new song?
Something stupid.
Okay, so I'm here for Aaliyah. Or Aaliyah. I'm here for Aaliyah,
too.
I love Aaliyah.
I'm here for Alicia Keys just because, like, I like her as a talent, as an artist.
Oh, she's amazing.
Her new album is out.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's called Alicia.
When did it come out?
I would be here for it.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It's not. There's a couple of songs that were released, but the whole album is not available.
Signing to Roc Nation, though.
Makes sense.
I mean, yeah, New York, born and bred, whatever. But why does she need to? I feel like she's big enough as a standalone. Like, she's already.
Oh, you're saying she should be independent?
Yeah. Like, what's the need for her to sign to a major label?
Okay, well, I will say this. Independent is a little bit more rough than we think. Because
I have no doubt that it's because
like somebody like Alicia Keys should have somebody back in her ass. She
her
don't
husband
need to be
is there. Swizz Beatz,
and he
so somebody who has been in they've both been in the music industry.
But what has he dropped recently?
He has money coming in. He doesn't have to drop.
He got
either.
Too many babies and baby mamas to deal with.
All right, we're not talking about that. But my
I'm
point
just
is, I don't see. I don't know the benefit of her. Signing to a major label. I just want to know.
I don't think she has.
It's gonna be different.
I think she lost the fan base big enough to support herself independently after she stole that man's husband or that woman's husband. But,
right.
So and God snatched her. And what's her name? Ursula. Ursula snatched her voice
at Whitney Houston's funeral.
Uh huh. So I mean, it, you need a major label backing you at this point.
But
it sucks that you're Alicia Keys and you've been in the industry almost 20 years now.
And she's a talent.
And you need she is a talent.
She is a
I just need her to like
talent.
Get good with God, so like Ursula will release your voice back and do a little more.
Well, she hosted the Grammys and she made a song like she. Basically created a song off of somebody else who's popular. It was his song, but she basically talked about everybody who was in the audience, and she basically was bringing a come to Jesus moment with everybody, and it was good. She got a piano. It was her and the piano and her vocals. It was good.
I wish Alicia Keys the best. I think she's paid enough for her transgressions.
Yeah.
And I want her to be blessed with a vocal that I can accept. From Alicia Keys, because right now in a song, because Underdog is the single and it's not, it's a no for me. All
right.
And you can't call yourself an underdog when you stole that woman's husband. Like, girl, you the top dog.
How you get him? Well, how you get him is how you lose him. So that story hasn't closed yet.
And
won't
Crystal Renee tell y'all exactly that? Shout out that turtle's getting divorced, guys. And you know what? I'm sorry. This is a digression. But I'm super here for that only because I don't like to see black love destroyed. However.
How you get it is how you lose it.
Yes. And that man told that beautiful queen that he ain't want no more babies and went and stuck his dick in the next one. And so Chad and I had this conversation.
Yep.
And he said, well, when Neo told that woman that he didn't want any more babies, he was just trying to say he didn't want no more babies with her. And I said, well,
bro, you got
to
specify.
He fucked her up.
She had her tubes tied.
Right. Fucked her up.
I said, I'm sure the conversation didn't go as comprehensive as, oh no, I just don't want any more babies with you. No, I'm sure he just said, like, I don't want no more kids. You know, so
go ahead and get your tubes tied.
When he could have got
it. Why would you allow her to do that when you know damn well?
So anyway,
that's murder. Like,
sayonara to the turtle and his relationship.
Well, why did Ursula let him keep his vocals?
We haven't heard any vocals from him in forever.
Yeah, but he's still like the talent's gone. Was it stolen?
I think his period's over.
Yeah, he has periods.
He had a period of time. The bitch was on the charts. Like, he was making money.
Yeah, I'm sure he's still out here. Writing songs for
Rihanna, like he was making. I'm Beyonce, sure he's still doing that though. Like
Neil is a talent as well. He is. You can't deny that. And if he writes the right music and sings the right notes, he could be back on the charts.
And puts the right
we'll
hat
see
on.
What Mr. Girl. Independent. He's out here loving her.
Okay,
he's
wow.
out here lonely. Last but not least, yes. RuPaul has hosted Saturday Night Live.
Did you watch it?
No, I
don't. Joy doesn't watch TV, period. Or listen to music.
That is true.
Or anything black.
That library situation.
With everything.
Fucking thing. RuPaul did so well on that episode. I was amazed.
Yeah.
Now I'm waiting for Billy Porter to host. I need that in my life, please. But RuPaul did it. I love the Designing Women sketch they did. But that reading one.
I just started watching that show, Designing Women.
You just started.
Yes.
Oh, what season are you on?
No, the first, second.
Oh, girl,
it's the beginning.
We need a day.
Yeah, we need to get to a certain point so we can show you this SNL clip so you can get it. Like
the sassy one with the dark hair just took the little mousy one's ex. Just went on a date with the little mousy one's ex-husband.
Oh, that's you early in
the beginning. Okay,
all right, people. Well,
I'm glad you're watching it.
That is Did You Care?
Eloise, girl. Oh. Well, you're going to get a hot oil treatment for that broom on top of your
head. Y'all, we will be back in a minute.
Make sure Sibra want that wallpaper back, girl.
We got to watch a video of a stripper landing on her face and also something else. What else?
I think that's it. I think I showed this video.
So we'll be back in a minute after we laugh a little bit.
And we'll be back to politics.
Bye. We are back.
What's up? Time to politic.
We are going to do some politicking.
Okay. I'm so glad we're back. But Joy got it.
She saw the stripper fall from the pole.
And you know what, guys? It wasn't that eventful. The most entertaining part of the video was some young woman in the background who inquired about the health of the stripper.
I bet it was a black woman. It sounded like a black woman.
Is she okay? Now, that was the funny part of the video.
It looked like somebody tossed her off the pole. And then she tried to grab it. And
it was called alcohol. That's what tossed her off that pole.
Hello, Drew. Okay, so this week with politicking, my mom actually sent this article to me, which is, you know, shout out to mamas. And this took place in Allegheny County, which is interesting because
it's our county.
But this is about a judge here in Allegheny County, Judge Mark Tranquilli.
Yep. I've been in his courtroom.
He apparently referred to... The worst ones, they have that...
Here
like,
we go.
That air of, you know, not being pieces of shit when they're actually pieces of shit.
I was so sad when I heard
this birthday.
So, if y'all didn't know, Wes, you didn't hear about the story, right?
No, I did. I didn't know the details. I did read...
Okay, so Judge Tranquilli referred to a juror as Aunt Jemima repeatedly in comments that he was making in the chambers with the prosecutor and the defense attorney.
Correct.
Essentially, to sum up the story, he was really upset. There was a case that he was presiding over. The individual was being charged with the drug possession. He had a history of drug offenses, minor possession, but this particular hearing was about his intent to distribute or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So the Judge Tranquilli made a terrible... The judge said that the prosecutorial attorney made a terrible decision, quote-unquote.
Right.
And I'll read that quote specifically.
I want to hear this.
The judge said that Ted had made a terrible decision by allowing Aunt Jemima on the jury. The juror number 4 was a young black woman who had worn a hair wrap throughout the trial. Mm-hmm. The judge expressed that he knew Ted was not going to get a conviction from the moment juror 4 was questioned. The complaint also goes on to say that the judge indicated he knows that the woman's quote-unquote baby daddy probably sells heroin, and that her, quote, presumed bias in favor of heroin dealers had caused or contributed to the not guilty verdict. Uh-huh. So he's basically making all of these assertions based on the fact that this
she has a head wrap on.
Had a head wrap on.
I thought defendant, it was silk, too.
The defendant had previously, like I was telling y'all before, the defendant had previously been convicted of simple possession and was being retried on the count of possession with the intent to distribute.
Correct. Okay.
So following the verdict, the judge, visibly upset,
caught.
When he actually received the verdict slip from his minute clerk, he threw it back at when the judge received his paper with the jury's verdict.
They read it first.
He threw it back at the minute clerk who had given it to him because he was so upset.
And Tranquility is very dramatic like that.
So really?
Like, it's very entertaining. That's why I like it. But until this,
so it's like watching court, like court TV.
It's so good. Like if you just sit in his courtroom, it's great to watch him. But this is some bullshit.
So when he received the verdict, he threw it back at the minute clerk. And the defendant forward when the judge called the defendant forward for the sentencing, right? So now he's visibly upset. He's demonstrated his disdain for the, I guess, judicial process because the jury did their due diligence. They returned a verdict to the to their peer.
Right.
What they thought was
y'all the picked jury, their jury. So.
And that's what his point is. Like you knew Aunt Jemima was on your juror list. You still had strikes left. He could have struck that person out and gotten them off the jury.
Okay.
But he left them on, and that's his problem. He's pissed. Like, why would you leave Aunt Jemima on? You know she's going to go home to her baby daddy who sells heroin too.
Right. And when the judge called up the defendant, he made several additional comments to the effect that he believed that the client was a drug dealer rather than a user, which is an assertion, who are you making?
Oh, my God.
After the jury was dismissed, the judge then called the two lawyers into his chambers. And that's when he got, you know, that's
why
when
he was really so emotionally invested in this case.
Because Tranquility is very strict when it comes to, like, the law and, like, sentencing people. And if he hears evidence and the verdict ends up going opposite of the evidence he believes exists, that's how he's going to react. Like, I watched him read down this dude. Like, he was like, look, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you probation, is what he said. But he was like, if I see you in my court again, that means you didn't follow my order, and I'm going to put you in jail. And he was like, you can bring
was all... Was that a black person?
Yes. And he was like, you can bring all your kids in here, and they can cry and be like, daddy, daddy, like, we need
he
our daddy.
He said that?
I will put you in jail anyway.
He said that?
So, in addition...
Wow. Allegedly.
What? No, he said it. I was there. I was sitting there listening. Like, that's what you're
going to get us in trouble.
But
so he was elected to the bench in 2013, and, like, apparently, like you're saying, Dante, he's had a history of demonstrating, you know what I mean?
He's very strict on his sentencing. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of people right now, so a lot of his cases are being reviewed because of these comments.
Okay.
And my understanding that they're, I forget which judge it is, but some of the other judges have to go back through these cases, and some of them are handing down smaller sentences, you know, reducing the amount of time or releasing people. And they're, when they were asked the question of like, did you think he was wrong? They were like, no, we don't think he was wrong. We think he was just heavy handed with the sentencing. So like he was right to sentence them to something. I just don't think they probably needed to be in that long. So we're going to go ahead and reduce.
Well, shout out to the Black Political Empowerment Project in Pittsburgh, because they immediately ushered, immediately gave a letter to the chairman, of the...
What's her name? The presiding judge, the president judge. She's a black woman.
The one who gave down the sentence to him?
No. She's the one who reassigned him.
Oh, right, Kim Berkeley.
She, and then she
Kim
also
Berkeley is the
he's like on desk, he's on the, desk work now, right?
Yeah. And she also reported it to the
right
circuit court, the circuit court,
Kim Berkeley is the president and judge who took him off of bench duty.
She has that authority, but she can't remove him.
Right.
So that's why she reported it, and they're doing an investigation.
Yeah, the report I saw that she removed him, and then he was basically doing desk duty, and then everything
he's doing like appeals.
He's doing summary municipalities type shit.
He's reassigned to summary appeals. summary appeals as of Tuesday. But my issue, amongst everything else, is, you know, this was only brought to light because the defense attorney in the case felt that the beratement that his client got in front of the jury, and then the added conversation that the judge had with him behind closed doors, demonstrated this prosecutorial history of racism that he perpetuates. And again, we would not have... This wouldn't be a story unless somebody blew the whistle.
I think that you're right, except for the fact that like the ADA, who was the prosecutor in the trial, mm-hmm. when Tranquilli called him and the defense attorney in and said the Aunt Jemima comment and all that, he's the one who reported that shit.
Okay.
Like,
oh shit.
Okay. The prosecutor was like, "Whoa, he just called her Aunt Jemima." Okay. Like,
so yeah, she wasn't making pancakes or nothing.
She had her head wrap on like Aunt Jemima does on the bottle.
Oh my god.
Or the box.
Right.
I'm thinking pancakes, and I forgot about the damn head wrap that she has.
Remember the commercials where she talks?
Yeah.
That's probably what he was thinking when he said the comment. But the bottom line is like,
I'm not doing Black History Month.
I was talking to my mom about this before I came up, literally today, and I was just like, I actually liked Judge Tranquilli because despite what a lot of people feel as though have been harsh sentences. Mm-hmm. Like, the things that I viewed in his courtroom, I agreed with. Like, you're out here fucking shit up. You know, people are dying, overdosing on the drugs that you're distributing. Blah, 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 blah. Go to jail. You know what I mean?
But the crazy thing is, I understand what you're saying, but I feel like if it was a Black person in that position, that we would not operate and say the things that he said, but still doing the same, putting the hammer down, making the comments that he made.
But right. You will notice, I read another article where they, what they've reviewed so far is he's handed out more harsh sentences to white males than Blacks right now.
Really?
So, like, everybody's out here screaming racism, mm-hmm. which the comments were racist. Don't get me wrong, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The comments were absolutely racist. But also, I think,
does he recognize when he speaks like that, though?
But he doesn't always... He speaks harshly, period. Like, I've never heard him with my own ears say anything racist, because I would have been like, whoa, hold up. But
it doesn't seem to shock you that he said it, though.
I'm not shocked that he said it, because I've sat in his courtroom and listened to, like, how direct and, like, extreme and, like, harsh he is. But it's always been harsh, like a parent being like very harsh on their kids.
Why was he going to the jury though? Like, goddamn, like,
because she was a Black woman with a head wrap, and he felt racist. As though the reason the rest of the jury
racist, was, right? He's a racist. Like, ain't no way around it. Like, you perceived all head wrap and called her Aunt Jemima.
I'm not saying he's not a racist. That's not the argument that I'm making here. What I'm just saying is that he has greaterly sentenced white males.
Two things could be true.
He
could be an ally, but he could also be a racist.
True. But the point I'm making was that he said he made a racist comment.
You can be removed from being a racist. You can be taught to not be a racist. Like, these things can be under, you know, it can be removed from your being.
Is all his
you respect him is what it sounds to me. All like, his, enough.
No,
yeah.
Because oh, I don't not. Respect any races at all.
Well, no, I mean, the point prior, I'm making to, it, prior to.
Prior to, yes. Yeah. But, yeah. Like, all I'm saying is he handed out harsh sentences across the board. It wasn't just like all these Black men and women are getting sentenced to 10, 12 years in jail and all the Caucasian
And he was
people
hard on his own people.
He was hard on everybody.
Right.
That doesn't mean that he can't be racist as well.
But it's like, damn, you're going to give me a hard sentence and then you're going to call me a fucking...
he called the Black girl Aunt Jemima.
And she wouldn't even get sense. Like, she was just minding her business.
She just went home. She collected her little check.
Doing
her secret duty.
Yes! Uh-huh. And she got shaded up.
Yeah, she did.
I mean,
could you imagine being that juror and this story comes out and you're like, bitch, you called me what?
He called me what, bitch?
Let me see that motherfucker in the street. Right.
Oh, now look at y'all being fucking racist, assuming that that's how she speaks.
I'm assuming that's how I would react.
I wasn't right. talking about her.
Okay.
Because well, I literally would be like, bitch, what'd you say?
Yeah, man, I'll show you a fucking inch of my bitch. I'll fucking make a pancake with ass. Your fucking ass, bitch. What's good?
Okay, but, I really want my mom to listen to this episode.
Sorry for that. We're sorry.
Okay. Well, so, who's one of mine?
Wait, hold on. Are you done with it? Okay. So, one of the things that I think is really interesting to highlight, too, is we talk about systematic racism, and something as simple as him being biased in that way, it had this great impact on the whole criminal justice system in Allegheny County for how long? He was appointed to the bench in 2013. Yeah. Right? So when you think about why it's so important to get out and vote and why it's so important to be a participant in your community, in your, you know, how politics affect you, these are the reasons why, because this person has this track record. So how many, you know, like you were saying, Dante, he has a history of sentencing people harshly because he believes very earnestly in the law.
He's there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and you know, he follows the recommend. Like, so there's a sheet that comes out, and it basically breaks down like how you should sentence someone depending on like how many times they've been arrested, how many times they've been charged with X, Y, and Z, if this is their second or third offense, and there are guidelines, that's what they're called.
Right.
And he always goes to the top of the guideline. Like, this is what you're getting sent. I'm giving you
right up here.
All of this shit. Right.
You're getting all this shit, girl.
So it's not like he's wrong. It's just like other judges in the same type of case with the same like information would have went a little less in that guideline.
Well, at the end of the day,
it's his prerogative.
That's
the voting is how he got there.
Well, let me point something else out about voting. Oh, shit. You got to think that like these are common pleas judges, so they have to run and get elected to common pleas court. But you got to think, where does he represent? Is it Brookline and BQ?
Right,
where
true.
All, you That's know,
true.
There's a
right.
strong Caucasian
right.
Population. Because I don't know how it's broken down. I really need to look into that. But like, he could represent an area that is mainly Caucasian, where they would reelect
him. Elect his ass, right, right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, voting matters. Don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is, like, depending on
Especially
the demographic, but when it comes to the demographic of the community, that influence, so just telling, like, us Black people to go and vote, we might not have had no influence on that anyway. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But still go vote. Like,
I
period.
Mean, no, we probably, you know what I mean, if he is from a district that is not necessarily populated by a lot of minorities, but somebody who is in a neighboring community who has a friend in that district who has now been invested themselves in like understanding the process, when something comes up like this, you could be like, hey girl, I don't know if you know,
you can vote for this person, you shouldn't.
Yeah, but you probably shouldn't vote. So right. It's all about like the one of the main reasons why we did this podcast, and to start it off, yes, is to be jokes and to have fun and stuff like that, but it's just to highlight all of the ways in which our system is not serving us to the best of its ability,
well,
and all
right
of
to
the ways
about.
That we need to step up and take more responsibility.
And that's the good point
yes.
right there. We
and
need
that's
to
the
participate
point.
More.
Yes.
That is it right there. Good point.
Yes.
So that was just my little snippet. And mm-hmm. I guess to end my segment, I want to shout out to my mom, who also sent me this super cute shirt that says, "We are the 96%, and it's a picture of a beautiful brown woman on the front.
Oh,
and the underlined comment is the Black women that are too smart to vote for Trump. So I just wanted to highlight.
Oh, can I get that shirt?
We all need to participate. I want to highlight and shout out to the Black women, the 96% of you that voted most recently because you were too smart to vote for Trump. So everybody else has to get out there and start I'm guilty of my, you know, I'm
quit letting
well.
The Black women carry all the load. Support
Seriously.
Them, uplift them.
It's very, I'm actually happy that you ended on that because it goes into what my politicking is. And this all started when I saw an article from the Daily Mail about Bloomberg picking Hillary Clinton as his VP.
I'm tired.
And it caused a little bit of a spark online, you know, because I, you know, if you know me, like, but this is my thing about it. Like, these things about Bloomberg have been coming out, these audio clips and all this stuff he's been talking about. He's a fucking racist. I don't care what anybody says. That's what he is. But it's a discussion that I feel like it needs to be had about the Democratic Party.
Where to begin?
It's trash.
Because my thing is, like, we're so quick to talk about the Republicans and white nationalists and KKK and all this type of shit. And I was like, do you not look at what's around our own situation? Like, I'm only a Democrat because the Democrats, A, fit my lifestyle better than anything else. Yeah. Bitch, if there was another option, I would have picked that
option that could actually influence us.
Right. Thank you. A viable option. Right. That makes sense. Right. A viable option.
Because that would be independent, but y'all can't do nothing.
Y'all can't do nothing for it. Like, you know, it's not happening. And so my thing is this is like, I really want to make the discussion. It's like, especially right now, we are seeing what's happening in our own party between all these people picking their, you know, nominations and VPs. And, I mean, look at the Iowa caucus. Look at that shit.
That circus.
You know what I'm saying? Now, listen, I'm going to start speaking freely about this because I'm concerned. I don't know how Pete Buttigieg got anywhere where he's at right now. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But, you know, it is what it is. But we have to have discussions about looking at our own party. We as black folks have been sitting here voting for bitches God knows for however, and we've not been happy about who our choices were, but we did it for the best of our country. Not just because of our egos or who we like or this, that. It's like, bitch, you know what? My granny is on Medicare. You know, my sister next door is on food stamps. I got kids. I want to make sure they get a good education. At the end of the day, I'm going to pick this white bitch over here because it seems better than this one on to the right. Like, come on now. Like, what's going on here? Why are we not having discussions about really looking into our own party? Why is it just like good and bad? It's bad all around.
Right. Well, I think it's because, like, we as a party aren't necessarily that invested in understanding what moves and shakes us. Like, we, on the surface, are like, oh, I'm all Democrat. It's about the, you know, the basic things. Medicaid, food stamps, whatever. You know what I mean? Those services. But there is so much more involved in these, like, elected officials and so much more that they do that affects your life than these big ticket things, and people don't recognize that. So if you're somebody who's like, well, I mean, I'm gonna vote for a Democrat because they in general support Medicaid, you know what I mean, but not recognizing that while that person might be a Democrat, he might be a super shitty Democrat, you know what I mean, because we don't take the time to go into voting history.
So
if you look at somebody's voting history, then you can make a better determination about why. But that will require people to actually get active in
and this is my thing, and I know you wanted to say something. This is my thing. It's like, okay, what happens when Trump is gone, right? We get a Democrat in office. I actually, that's where my popcorn's at, because I want to see how all you bitches want to come out here and talk crazy about Trump and everybody else, but won't do the same when it's our own party in office. Like, you don't think, well, I know you will. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just talking about, but it's like, that's where I feel like
you trash.
Because my thing is, that's where I feel like the most work can be done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I am looking for the ball to be moved forward. We need a person who's going to undo all the shit that Trump has done, and a person who's going to push America back to the top as it's supposed to be. Do you talking about being...
No,
well, I mean,
playing the devil's advocate.
Are you not? I mean, are we not supposed to be one of the baddest?
Yes.
Right. Let's be honest. Are we not American?
So I feel like the
let's really have a conversation here.
One of the primary issues right now is the fact that, like, we as a party and a lot of black people as well do not feel as though a black woman or another black man could, like, lead the country. Like, we're not able to do that. We're not, like, the country isn't ready for that again. Like, all the shit that I hate hearing.
Right.
But I think with that being said, what we also don't do is support, like, black candidates. Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, they couldn't raise the money.
Right. They got
raised. And it's because we don't pay money to their campaign.
But we also hold them to a higher standard than we hold everybody else.
Absolutely. Because fucking you talked about Kamala and her prosecutorial record. But what about Amy
Klobuchar? And
are we ready to slay her? Are we ready to drag her ass? Because her record is worse. Way worse. Let's drag this bitch.
I'm ready. Ready to drag her.
Her.
Don't even talk about Tulsi Gabbard. That bitch is trash.
Well, I don't even acknowledge her existence any longer. But Bloomberg need dragged. Fucking Biden needs dragged. Klobuchar needs dragged. Like, Buttigieg, he needs dragged.
He's too. About to get dragged. I mean, like, did you not see the people of color, the gays that came up and disrupted one of his like campaign events?
No, I didn't.
Oh, see child, they came in there in droves and talked about it.
Because he needs dragged, period. And the bottom line is, it's like, we just need. All the candidates are trash. Period. I'm just going to put that out there now.
The VP whoever, probably won't be.
Whoever is the nominee, I'm going to vote for.
Oh, hell yeah.
But everybody is trash. Y'all all are trash. So what, trash. Basically what I'm saying is I'm going to have to deal with a trash president even after Trump. Mm-hmm. Fine. At least babies won't be getting stuck at the border right dying now, and split up from their family.
I'm saying that right
least
now.
We won't be building a fucking wall between Mexico and the United States. So I got to tolerate. I have to tolerate another trash president. Yep. And if it happens to be a Democrat, God willing, please let a Democrat win in November. I potentially had to deal with that person for 8 years because the party is going to go
eight.
Behind and them.
I said that. And I said eight, them. Not four. I right. need eight, girl.
8 fucking years.
I need eight.
Of the one of these people right sorry. Now running will be the president for the next 8 years.
I'm sorry.
And I don't know if I can tolerate
I'm sorry. I'm picking Sanders, and I'm out here putting it out there because it took me fucking forever to get here. I wanted Harris.
Nope.
I wanted her.
It's a no for me.
And it,
mm-hmm.
That's where I wanted it.
It's a no for everybody.
But if Harris is the VP, then you'll pick Sanders.
No, because he has to win the nomination for me to pick Sanders. The thing is, in April, because Pennsylvania's primary is in April during presidential election years.
Which I hope you bitches go vote for.
And this is going to be the hardest election for me.
Yeah.
Ever. Because
it's hard for
they
me.
They are all trash. All of them. And it's going to be very difficult for me to pick which candidate to actually give support to. Because I don't like any of y'all. And I only want to vote for you once you're the nominee. I want to vote for you in November.
Right.
I don't want to vote for you in
But this is our choice, April. Though. This is we get to pick which bitch we get to vote for in November.
Yeah, but, like, I don't want any of them.
So okay, that's the point. But this is what we got. This is what we got, though.
Exactly. And that's why I said I'm going to go in a booth and it's going to be so difficult. It's like, fuck! I got to pick somebody.
I'm going to text you. I said, like, I hope your ass is in line.
I might vote for everybody else on that. Ticket.
Don't you do that, Dante.
Why
don't
it doesn't
do
matter? One of them is
don't do that. No, because I don't trust the Democratic Party to even let them nominee who needs to be nominee the people want to do this again. That's the thing I'm also concerned about. Like that Iowa situation
I will
fucking
pay attention
made me concerned.
To the
And let's talk about why do we have caucuses?
Those should be gone.
What the fuck is that about? How many
it's
black
ridiculous.
People voted in that shit?
None.
Right. Why is it important? Like Obi-Wan Iowa. Well, how many of us got the vote?
So this is what I'm gonna do.
Like
to make my choice easier in April. Because I'm going to pay attention to the momentum from the prior.
Well, switches every month.
Yeah, but by the time Pennsylvania rolls around, there'll be so many state primaries that have already happened. Mm-hmm. Whoever's leading at that point, that's who's getting my vote. That's all I can do. That's all I can give.
Well, I think
you well, as long as you go vote, that's fine.
I'm never going to miss an election. You will never. Bitch, when I was in Iraq, I was sitting home my absentee
Come on,
ballot.
Friend.
Like, bitch,
Come on,
I
friend.
Never, so, in the time I turned 18 until this day, I've never missed a fucking
I know that's right.
Ever. And I never will.
At that time,
I'll be in the hospital and still be like, look, somebody carry this absentee ballot.
Listen, my daddy still filled out his ballot and he could hardly even know what day it was.
Bitch.
Okay? He said, who we voting for? I said, the black man. He said,
amen.
Glory.
But Barack? I said, yes.
That's him.
He
Sound
said,
right here, daddy.
Right. Done.
That's it.
Done.
That's the bottom line. So whoever is leading at that point, whoever the most delegates before they get to Pennsylvania, that's who's getting my vote. Unless it's Klobuchar.
No.
Any of those.
Listen, whoever gets it.
Buttigieg, he's not getting it.
Listen, I don't know.
I don't know what they do.
No, they trying to pull some shit. I'm not here. All
right. Anyway.
But my end of the point is, I just want everybody, you need to sit down and listen to one another. I don't care if they say some shit that you don't like. And I have been there, and sometimes it's upsetting. But sometimes you don't have to listen to respond. It's okay to just listen.
Yeah.
We gotta be able to discuss and talk to each other. Else, our country is not going to move forward. And fuck the country, the world.
And we
like,
don't
you know,
have
like,
to
we need,
agree.
Right.
That's fine.
We
it's
don't
okay.
always have to it's, agree. It's but right. we need to respect one another and have the difficult conversations. We're a fucking adults.
And
get over it.
Also, respect and also be willing, like you said, to
now,
listen.
Now, you will get blocked in a second you say something crazy to me.
But be willing to listen and, like, don't immediately be defensive. Like, good example is Joy and I when we were talking about Kamala a couple months ago. And I was like, I'm supporting her. And Joy's like, I don't know.
Right.
And we had an adult conversation. And she was like, she listened to me. And she was like, you know what? I'm on board. And that's all it takes is just a mutual respect and listening. That's you know
all,
what I mean?
That's all I got to say. And that's it. I just want people to... And please vote, people.
Yes. Okay. So,
well, we know last, our listeners,
but not least, my politic. And I just want to, talk about Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union and how they are raising their children. Like,
I love their black love so
love
much.
Me too. And respect this family so much because they're... I'm going to call him he because I need to get to where
the
I'm
she,
going. Right. Okay. So, his son came out as transgender recently. His name was Zion. Mm-hmm. Her name is now Zaza. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And they, support the hell out of Zaza. It's fine. I love you, whatever you need. And I just wish more black parents would tolerate, and that's a terrible word, but I wish more black parents would just even tolerate their LGBTQ children.
I agree.
And allow them to just be themselves. That's literally, Zaza went on this whole rant when she was with her dad. And talked about
was she driving the golf cart?
Yeah. And she was talking about how people just need to be themselves regardless of how difficult it is, because basically she was saying it gets better. And the thing is, what's good for her is that she has two parents that one love her unconditionally, and two have the means to protect her as well.
Right.
So
and that's the conversation I was talking about last day. They have the ability and the funds to be able to.
Right, but you don't have to have any money to just love your kid. Right. You know what I mean? And that's basically what I'm saying. So there was this picture that Gabrielle posted right after Thanksgiving, and it was them and Zaza had.
Slate in that picture.
Yeah, she had a crop top on. Yes. She had her nails done, and she was adorable. And it's people came for them as a family because of how they're letting her kid, make decisions. So what? She's 12. She feels like a she. Let her be. Maybe let's go off the off-brand chance that she is incorrect.
Maybe she might change.
Maybe she'll go back to being a boy next year.
That's her choice.
That's fine. Fuck it. What difference does that make?
Exactly.
Instead of making her stressed and upset and hurt because people aren't accepting her, just let her be.
And give her time to
figure that out.
Right. You never know what the fuck is going to happen. And I love the fact, I hope that, Magic Johnson and his wife and son,
because EJ be slain.
EJ is still a him, right?
Oh, he's a he.
Right. So I just want them to, all come together and, I want EJ to help, Zaza.
He probably
help her.
No, and I mean, he probably already is. He's probably already a big mentor.
I'm just hoping. I think that's awesome. And I appreciate Magic and his wife and their family. And it took him a while to get there.
I mean, because his son came out you talking about flames?
Yeah.
Inferno.
That's a lot. a lot. And his daddy's a legend and was like, I'm going to love my son.
And that's it. Bottom line. And that's what I want. I just don't understand why it's so hard for people to mind your fucking business and keep your mouth
shut. But you know what?
If you don't agree with what they're doing with their daughter, fucking don't comment. Just be quiet.
But you know what? This is a crazy thing. It's not crazy. It was a good thing. Twitter, black females on Twitter came so quick against the harshness when they went at that little girl.
Of course we did.
And they said it.
Because we the saviors of the world, Wes.
I know this. My mama black. My grandmama black.
Black.
But it was just one sentence. They said, y'all so want him to say fuck his daughter.
Yeah.
Y'all do.
So y'all so want him to, y'all so want Dwayne Wade to say, fuck my son, fuck my daughter, fuck him, I ain't fucking dealing with that. Why are we in this world? No, that's
what they said. And that's what they want. And that's the thing.
And I was what's wrong with a man loving his kids?
Regardless, unconditionally, that's what parents are supposed to do.
Why are we as men so conditioned to be fuck you, you ain't trying to be the ideal.
Why are we as black people?
I was going to say, it's not, in my opinion, I'm not going to say it's a black man, I'm going to say it is a long-bred culture of oppression with homosexuality in the black community, because if you think about it, where we were, we already had so many strikes against us being black in America. So when you added an extra layer to why you're already living a difficult life, of course your parents were like, shut that shit down.
Yeah.
Don't act like that in public, right? So then you have this system that is developing these people to act in a way that is acceptable to those around you.
I just don't understand.
Rather than acting like yourself. So now...
Yeah, right. They're stressing you and your life out.
Exactly. But now as, you know, as a culture moving forward, especially in as celebrities with the wherewithal and the means to kind of...
And the platform.
And the platform to be able to express all of these negative things. I'm so here for the Wade family kind of knocking down those stereotypes because for so long, we as Black people, I'll speak specifically about being a Black woman. For so long, I was... taught not by my family because I come from super strong Black women, but by society in general, taught to behave in a certain manner to be accepted by those around me rather than to challenge them to accept me for who I was. So the fact that the Wade family, and by saying who I was, I mean, you know, maybe me with my kinky hair or me with my darker skin or me with my body that doesn't fit the norm of what a Black girl should look like. Because y'all know I don't have no ass, right? So I basically think, you know.
You make up for another ways, girl.
I got these boots. I support the Wade family for like taking this opportunity to change the narrative. And be like, listen, for so long, we have been told by everybody else that this is wrong and that this is whatever. But here we are in 2020, and I'm here to tell you that this is what love unconditional
is. Yes. Here it is. That's my point. Why can't you just let your kids be whoever the hell they are?
They're kids.
I'm always going to love my daughter down. Period. Whatever decision she made. And there's going to be times in the future where I don't agree with whatever decision it is. And as long as it's not hurting you, like, physically, like, it's not going to cause you death or anything like that, that's your decision. You know what I mean? And I'm going to love you regardless. I don't agree, but I'm going to love you. Whatever it may be. Yeah. I might not agree, but I'm always going to be here to support you and love you no matter what. Yeah. Period. And that's all kids want. Like, why is it such a problem?
I will say, and you can identify too. Because while it's reasonable to expect all parents to have as open awareness as you do as a parent in recognizing the true benefit to helping your kid live the best life is allowing them to just be who they are.
Correct.
Right? And that's how you are being a good parent. But there are a lot of parents out there, and I'll use myself as an example, that I do find myself fearful for my kid because I recognize that maybe the way that he's behaving or maybe how he's dressed can, you know, result in these negative consequences that I hope for him to avoid. So, you know, then I'm stifling.
But the point to help you, though, is the fact that even if he was leaving the house wearing exactly what you laid out for him every day, you still are going to worry.
But but I'm saying, though, even parents, like even me, who feels that I'm somebody that's super open and, you know, if he decided that he was gay, I would be like, yeah, girl, go ahead and celebrate.
He ain't gay.
No, he's not.
we know that.
He has web history proven. But, you know, even me, I find myself a lot of times doing things like that where I'm putting the kibosh on who he is. Like, I'll use for an example, he's a very talkative individual. He's loud. He's, you know, that's just him. That's his energy. And a lot of times I'm like, stop being like that. You know what I mean? Because if you're like this, then people will think. And it's because I want him to be able to, you know what I mean?
Survive.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then again, I read a story like this and maybe that's his shining star. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe
that'll lead to whatever it is he's meant to do.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Maybe, like, he's the next, I don't know,
comedian. Or actor, and that's fucking hilarious.
So I'm just
because
saying,
they're loud and boisterous.
Yeah, because they're all of that. And and they would only be that if they had parents who were like, okay, you know. So
yeah,
I'm just
think
saying
of how much
hard.
We lost out on because parents have done exactly that. Mm-hmm. Like, they've tried to change their kids. They've restricted them from doing certain things. Just think about all the kids that fucking kill themselves because their parents won't even allow them to be themselves. Like, it is a hard pill to swallow when you realize who and what you are.
And you know what?
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, despite, like, me as a gay man, it was hard to get to that point where I was okay with being a gay man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I'm sure there's
something in your life that it was hard for you to get to. You know, and that you realized about yourself. And it's the thing, it's like you have these people, like friends and family in your life, and you want them to stay in your life. So now you're like worried that if, you know, if I tell them X, Y, and Z, I'm going to lose everything. You know what I mean? Like, why put a 10, 11, 12-year-old person through that? Because at 22, I was worried about it. So I can only imagine being 12 and, like, having to feel like that.
You know what I mean? And being gay, like, you know when you know you're gay.
Right.
And you deal with that your entire
life. I mean, you got to come out to yourself first.
Right.
That is the most difficult part of it. Like, it's not coming out to everybody else. It's coming out
and
to
the
people,
and the family that know you and love you know that you're dealing with it. You don't got to say it. Like, I didn't have to say it. People in my family knew already. But at the same time, is once you say it,
it's out there for the world to digest.
You're putting yourself on display to be judged.
It's even like a lot of shit. Like, I'm not, when it comes to social media in general, not just my relationship, but like in general, I don't post a lot of personal shit. I usually like comment on political shit or whatever's funny right now, you know, but I never really put a lot of pictures of myself, my daughter, my fiance, none of that.
Understandable. Out there. That's personal.
You know what I mean? And part of it, honestly, before was like, I need to stay guarded and keep. Because there are people who are on my friends list who I interact with in the world. And, like, I just don't want them all in my business.
Exactly.
But then there comes the point where it's like, fuck them. This is me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And big news requires a big audience. You know what I mean? It's like,
but you know what?
It's
very interesting to say because I'm the same way. I do a little bit. I post a little bit more than what you do. But there's some things that I'm sure you've noticed. There's some things I don't do. Like, I don't. I don't post a lot of gay stuff. Right. Certain things I've been more willing to do. Like, if I'm at Pride, sorry, girls, I'm at Pride. You get it. It's my time to celebrate me being around my community. It is what it is. Like, Black History Month, I'm unapologetically going to be Black this month. I'm sorry. It is what it is. You know, but I'm hoping, lately I've been dealing with a lot of stuff where it's like, I want to take my life and my career in a path where I can be unapologetically Wesley entirety 24/7.
I'm still trying to get there.
Right, and I'm hoping that, you know, eventually what we're creating, because I got some things in that I want to work on that I want to do, that we can do this and not have to worry about who our coworkers are and how people feel about it. Because I feel like that's a justice to us and our community, because we'll be able to spread that to other people. Who knows what gay, Black, or, you know, females or Black females are listening to this that we could, like, give inspiration to. Right. You know, I feel like that is my message. Before I leave this fucking earth, my message is I want to allow my community to be themselves. Because we already know our own, everybody has a story.
Yep. And I know me, I'm just trying to get, and I'm comfortable with me. Mm-hmm. And that it took me 30 plus years to be comfortably Dante. Right. Fine. You know, like, you don't like it, fuck you. You know what I mean? I keep it moving. There are people who were my closest childhood friend growing up, we are no longer friends at all. Like, I literally told him, like, you know, I'm gay. That's it. And that was it. That was it.
Really?
There was no more friendship after that. You know, and we were so close. Like, he's my daughter's godfather. Like, that close. Like, my mom called him son. Like, I called his parents mom
and dad.
Because
you were gay, he was like, no.
And, right. And, like, occasionally I find myself, and I guess this is, like, the sentimental part of me, I find myself, like, I'll, like, type his name in Facebook just to check. You know, I don't say anything. I don't reach out because clearly you don't want a relationship with me. But, like, seeing certain milestone, like, life moments happen in his life and I wasn't included, blew my mind.
Yeah.
He fucking got married. Where the fuck was I? I'm supposed to be standing right next to you. I'm your best fucking friend. You know what I mean? Yeah. You had a kid. I don't even know. Like, who is this baby? Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? And it, like, that, when that happened, it took me back. Like, initially, when that friendship fell apart, like, I became even more guarded. I was like, the people that are closest to me, I can't express who I truly am to them because I could potentially losing them. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just getting back around to, like, in the last 5-6 years to being able to, like, I don't give a shit.
No, I understand that.
I don't give a shit. And that's why I'm happy for Zaza.
I'm here for the
wave. Like,
right.
Because she, like, she's never, she does not have to experience, she'll experience outside world influence that'll be cruel and mean to her. But fuck them, because they don't mean shit.
And let's be real about this. And I'm so happy that Gabrielle and Dwayne are protecting their child and supporting her, because the writing on the wall is Black transgendered people are getting killed every day.
Or dying. That number is ridiculous.
Every day I turn on my fucking social network, my phone, and I see that a person has been killed. And it's like, nobody is talking about it. Like, it's happening very regularly. Yeah. It's our own community. Like, I don't care that somebody wants to be who they are. It's not hurting me. You know what I'm saying?
He, she, them, it they, whatever matter. You want. I'm cool with that.
And the fact that, you know, nobody is talking about the rise in suicide rate in the African-American transgender community.
Yep.
You know, so the fact that they're, the waves are highlighting that again is just a phenomenal
and
thing.
I love how they're telling the world, fuck you. This is my child. We're going to raise our kids. And we love her.
And you can't tell us how to love our kids.
You can't tell us shit. And we don't give a fuck what you like or dislike. It doesn't matter in this house.
And, and that's asses. What we need as a community. Yeah. We need more people to set those type of examples because, like, when anything catches on, it's because people are getting behind it, people support it. You see somebody who you respect adopting a certain philosophy, and then you question your own, you know, thoughts and your own means and purposes. Like, so, hey, a shout out to the Wades. I love to see it. And also, the fact that there's a lot to be said for Dwayne Wade based on his, and then this is, you know, again, playing into the stereotypes, but he is in a profession that is, you know what I mean, populated by strong, quote-unquote, macho.
Toxic masculinity.
There we go. I didn't want to say it, but you said it. You know, toxic masculinity, where he had to take a stand for his daughter in a way that, you know, could have had negative consequences for him. Endorsement deals. Who knows? You know, because people's racism and sexism and genderism, it goes deep. You don't even know who you...
I mean, his own wife dealt with it when she was working on the show.
Right. So, shout out to the Wade.
The whole, the bottom line to this for me is, like, what the fuck does it matter to you? Like, even as her parents, you know, say they didn't, like, accept her. What does it really matter to you? Like, it's not affecting you in your life, in your existence at all. Like, this is them. This is her existence. You know what I mean? Like, and it goes
feel
out.
Like they have they're entitled to the life of a celebrity. People
yeah, but not, but take the celebrity out of it. Just a normal person.
Child is a person.
Right. Like, why does it matter if this person's trans or gay or polyamorous, whatever? Why does that matter to you?
Well, okay. Like, I mean,
what does that affect?
We know what it comes down to. It's what you just said. It goes back to the fact of in our community, especially Black people, we have these protections in order to try to survive. And so they don't want to see this ideal of a person like this going against the norm so somebody could throw that up as a poster child and be like, oh, look at y'all over here acting like this.
But the problem with that, idea is
the fact that it's not logical.
race has the trans community.
Exactly.
And also, it does not make sense. Like, so it's 2020, and there are a lot of things we still need protected against, but this is not one of them. We don't need to be fighting our own community over some shit like this.
Agreed.
Like, it doesn't
matter. Not a Black man taking care of his family.
But I would say shout out to the Wades.
Yes.
I'm so happy that you highlighted that. We are going to take a break.
Yes. Yep.
And then we're going to come back with our most valuable Blacks.
Hey,
we might have got a Grammy on that one. Alrighty, we backity back and blackity black.
Hey!
So,
most valuable Blacks!
Now let's highlight in this also special month of Black history, let's highlight some brown people who we respect. Wes, you want to go first?
Yes, I will go first. And, you know, I just want everyone to know that, you know, when we talk about our most valuable Blacks, some of it will be historical, some of it will just be funny, and some of it will just be straight out respect.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to do a funny one today.
Yay.
And my most valuable Black goes to the Toronto-born friend of the show from Real Housewives of Atlanta, Tanya Sam.
Yes.
So
I love Tanya.
I'm going to give her my most valuable Black because she should have snatched the hell out of Kenya fucking Moore.
Did you see my post?
Yes. Kenya Moore from this past week's episode. Now, for those of you who don't know, Tanya Sam is not only just a reality star, but she also has a nursing degree.
Mm-hmm.
She and her man work in tech, and they work around the community bringing Black folks into the fold to be better entrepreneurs, to give them opportunity, access, wealth, any type of way through the world of tech.
And they got money too.
Right. So she don't be playing around. She not on these shows just acting like I'm a housewife trying to make money. Like, that's not the tea for her. But I'm going to give her my MVP because she held her composure when she got called a cunt.
She was very...
When this lady brought in some crazy, thirsty cookie lady.
And that was a mess. She was a mess.
I won't even mention...
Cookie lady?
That supposedly had a conversation where her man was with a bunch of other dudes who he was trying to get laid by her. And she was stuck on her man and decided that's how she wanted to enter into a television show to be that desperate. So
that was a terrible
entrance. Tanya, salutes to you, sis.
Hats off.
Because that's how black women operate and act on the regular, which is what society does not like to show. They have their composure, they know what they're worth, and they don't act crazy on the regular. So that's my MVP.
Shout out to her.
Okay, well, I don't know anything about that. But I love the energy.
it was great. You don't watch Atlanta Housewives?
I do not.
Just go back and watch that last episode.
That one episode.
And, I mean, I was furious. I was like, are you fucking kidding? Kenya is the dirtiest devil piece of shit person I've ever met. And
every girl.
I was kind of on the fence with Kenya. Like, I kind of like her, I kind of don't. But after this, I literally do not like her. And let me tell you something. And she deserves everything that man is giving her.
And everybody that called a friend that was in that room with her was not a friend that day.
Not a single one of them. Eva just sitting there eating her cookie. Cynthia trying to, like, not be rolled under the bus by Kenya.
Well, she threw her ass right under the bus.
And rolled over her. Fuck Kenya. Kenya Moore is a fucking bitch.
Trash.
Period. All right, I'm going to go. So, my most valuable black
still is... beautiful. Kenya is beautiful, though.
Oh, gorgeous.
Slay.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
The bags. Looks the like shoes. The clothes. Like, she's slay. I can respect your fashion game. I can't respect you, bitch. That I
want to end on a high note.
She slays down. Yeah. Even with her little piece, her hair piece.
Ooh.
And you got that man over a fucking wig, girl? Come on. You ain't got nothing better than
Marlo that. Called it.
I like
anyway,
Marlo.
Go ahead.
Anyway.
Okay.
All right. So, my most valuable black is Miss Deborah Flint. She is currently the CEO of the Los Angeles World Airports, which includes LAX, obviously.
Yeah.
Boom.
Right, that's lit.
Get them Kardashian points every time they want to fly to
right.
a stupid
she was, she's been the CEO there since 2015. She's appointed by the mayor of LA because... Ooh. I forget his name. But she was appointed by him because, he had the confidence that she would change LAX. And LAX has gotten better. She's spearheaded $14 billion of capital improvements.
Shit.
Like, the reason LAX is existing the way it exists is because of this black woman, right?
Wow. Are we surprised?
Mm-mm.
Oh, not at all. Because black women can run countries on their own. I'm sure of it.
Right.
She also has, in April of this year, so 2 months from now, she will become the president and CEO of the Greater Toronto Airports Authority. So she's leaving LAX and she's moving to Toronto to run their airport
Shut
authority
the hell
because
up.
She like president and CEO because she crushed LA and
so
it's
she'll
one of the
Kenya.
Biggest airports. she's been the head of one of the largest airports in the world and she's done a phenomenal job. And Toronto's like, hey girl, we need some help.
Mm-hmm.
So can you come and live up here with us? It'll be a little cold, sometime during the year. But I mean, we got you with this nice title, president, CEO.
Wow.
We're gonna pay you like you deserve to be paid.
That's what's up.
And it's not the United States; it's Canada. You want to come to Canada for a while, right? Because y'all country is a fucking mess.
Oh, okay.
So, my passport is still active, girl. I'm ready to go. Anybody who's single and willing to take me over,
right.
We can do a 90 K. I'm ready, girl.
But she slayed LA. She's done wonders for LAX and they have a Van Nuys airport as well. Or Van Nuys is the other. So it's LAX and Van Nuys.
She does both.
Which makes LA, Los Angeles World Airport.
That is
the combination of both those airports. And she's done amazing things there. So Toronto scooped her up.
Smart.
And now I'm sure that airport is going to be phenomenal as well.
The name is Deborah Flint.
Deborah Flint.
Shout out to you, girl.
Shout out, sister. Out here making sure that people make their flights comfortably.
Yes, yeah. Girl. Thank you. I appreciate it.
She got somewhere to be.
I just rolled through it.
That's how you know you're in a good position.
Right.
when the person in charge of transportation is a black woman, you good. Right. Because you don't have time to play.
Look, let me tell you something. I just rolled through LAX in October, and it was seamless. I strolled right on through, got what I needed. I got in and out. It was great.
Because she was like, listen, these practices and protocols
ain't working.
Archaic. Let me tell you how to do this. Let me tell you, last week, my MVP this week is really special for me. In social media. But this week I'm going to shout out to, especially because again it's Black History Month, I'm going to give a shout out to Miss Barbara Ransom. My mama. She actually was just published in her first, she just published one of her, her first peer review article in the Journal of Special Education Apprenticeship. If a lot of you guys don't know, but my mother is an attorney and she has been practicing law for 20 plus years. And her focus is children with disability primarily. So,
she don't play.
She doesn't play. And, earlier this year, she got a recognition as being the disability lawyer of the year. I shared that on my social media apps, but this, this publication is really important because in the world of academia, to have a peer-reviewed article published is, it's the shit. Okay. So
is there a link to it?
Yeah.
You can send it, we can put it on the page.
We will definitely put it on the page. But, so this article my mom wrote with a couple different authors. There was, Miss Corinne Fisher from Georgia Southern University, Cassandra Willis from Virginia Commonwealth University, and my mom, coming out of Lesley University, and they wrote an article about the protections that children are given being children with special needs in the public education system. So in 2017, the Supreme Court redefined the free and appropriate public education for students with disabilities. So that's the FAPE. And with it became, with that came a lot more demanding rulings. So parents were instructed to participate in certain things that would help to improve the individualized education program for their children, because it's an IEP that you have to take. Dante, you know about this.
Yep.
So, anywho, this article that my mother published, they go on to find that a lot of the protections that the parents with children of disabilities were afforded by this ruling, they weren't even aware of. So, I just want to highlight my mom for definitely bringing light to something that needs attention, much more attention in the minority community, I feel like, than it maybe gets. But yeah, so shout out to my mom for her publication in this peer review journal. And the article is entitled Parent Knowledge of the Definition of FAP in Light of the Andrew versus Douglas County School Board decision. So if any of you guys are, have, children with disabilities, have people in that world, that community affected by it, and you don't know that the Supreme Court ruling has affected you, definitely go check that out. And I'll put up a link, or Wes will put up a link to the journal website so you guys can take a look. So shout out to Barbara Ransom this week. And, you know,
congratulations. Yes.
Congrats, mama.
Yes. I miss you, Miss Ransom. See you soon. Want that seafood stuff in it.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, on that note, thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to get out of here.
We're glad to be back. Yes. We appreciate you listening. Please check us out on all the interwebs.
Yeah, please keep listening. We have some new things coming up.
Oh, shout out to Andrea. She's the reason why I picked Deborah Flint this month. She sent me that link.
Hey, Andrea! So,
shout out to her. Appreciate the most valuable black for this week for me. Thank you.
Thank you guys for keeping in touch and hanging with us. We will give you some more consistent content coming out in the future. And please like, share, and subscribe on all of the platforms. We really could use it, the clicks and the likes. And we really appreciate that you guys are still listening. So we'll talk to you next week.
Love y'all. Happy Black History Month. See y'all soon.
Blackity black.
Bye.